Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 141 and a special Mother's Day edition. I'm kind of laughing as I say that because the last show, I totally messed up the episode. I didn't know where we were. Thankfully, Mark cut that out because I was back from pilgrimage, totally discombobulated. But I know today is 141. We're doing kind of a special Mother's Day edition on the program for you. So we've got our favorite adventurous monk. He's going to bless us with some words of wisdom, encouragement for moms. Father Nathan Cromley is back with a brand new Padre in your pocket, and another special guest in the house with me, literally, my mom, Joan. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
I always have to talk about what you're wearing when you're on the program. Today you've got, you look like a Heinz ketchup bottle.
Yes.
That's your shirt, and it says, ketchup with Jesus. Let us praise him and relish him, because he loves me from my head to my toes, which is tomatoes, but it's kind of to my toes. So thank you for sharing that. Do people comment on that? Do you wear that out?
I wore it today. Someone, after Mass, I really like your shirt, but then I was at the donut place and a woman came over.
I don't know why that's funny, but.
And she said, I love your shirt. And then she started talking about that she had worked in a Christian gift store.
Oh, that's
for
fun.
17 years.
Wow.
And she had not seen this, but it was, I love the way that people respond just unexpectedly besides have a nice day or something. And I have had responses from young people, like maybe college guys. So it's so fun. You don't know and you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Until someone says, I really like your shirt.
And you're evangelizing through t-shirts and condiments.
True.
And it's a good conversation starter, like you said.
Yes.
So, well, thank you for being on the show, really, because you're here. It's Mother's Day weekend and really the month dedicated to Our Lady and Mom. So we're going to have a little fun with that. Talk about also, I wanted to share a few of my favorite books on motherhood that I go back to over and over again. You're going to talk a little bit about the Mary Walk that you've organized for years. Not everybody knows what a May crowning is, and they may not all be the same. So you're going to share that with us?
Yes.
Okay. And also, what 10 priests have to say about video games. Fortnite is driving me nuts. And I'm pulling you into this because you were here at the house when we were on pilgrimage. You saw with your own two eyes the challenge that these video games pose.
Yes, true.
I can tell you're biting your tongue in a very gracious way. But I do, you know, I have four boys in the house. They love this game. I know we cannot be the only ones because millions around the world play Fortnite. And I know all the homeschool moms are just, they're waving their finger at me and they're shaking their head and they're saying they should be outside whittling. They should be, I mean, we have always been an outdoor family. We love books. We love the outdoors. We love exercise. Somehow along the way, things have gone off the rails. And I think because, I don't know, my hypothesis is because we have more than one boy, maybe the most dominant one will lead and the other ones kind of follow. Well, what's that one doing? And they all have kind of gotten into this camp. And then it's kind of like a gang mentality and it's hard to deprogram that. And so we're going to talk about the moral aspect because to talk about video games would be almost as broad as talking about movies. There are so many different themes and levels of maturity, and Super Mario Brothers is way different than a Grand Theft Auto. It's a world apart, but still the general implication of it all and how are other parents dealing with it and what do priests say about it? I'd love to get your thoughts as a parent if you deal with this, but I also want to talk about this and you're going to share your honest input, right?
Yes.
And before we get too far in the show also, just a reminder, remember the date, May 28th, major announcement coming up on the program and that's all I'm going to say. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big.
Okay.
Okay.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Okay, so imagine this scene. A mighty warrior girds on his sword and shield, prepares for a great battle. Today's the day. There's an evil dragon. This fight, this ancient good and evil epic battle. And what is the person going to do? The day of reckoning. I mean, you hear a story like that and you think this could be a great novel. This could be a great movie. This could be the Book of Revelation. Or it could be a video game. And in this case, that's what I'm talking about. How do you feel about the era of digital fantasy games? And I know, again, as in the top of the show we talked about, it is such a vast world out there. So there are some things that we would all agree, like Grand Theft Auto, are evil, are off limits, shouldn't be played. I don't think there's anyone out there who is a parent that I've heard make a rational argument for a game like that. Then there's the more ambiguous games where you could say, well, they might be okay, like Minecraft. And that, but see, here's the problem is I'm not sitting next to them and watching. So I don't know. I don't know if there's secret portals or weird things. And then there's Fortnite, and then there's Super Mario Kart, which I think most people would say, oh yeah, that's fine. But you might start with Super Mario Kart, and depending on the child and the personality, some kids have more of a tendency to get addicted than others.
True.
So the thought is, parents, how do you handle this with your kids? And I'm really, truly asking for advice because I'm struggling with this. Tell me some of the things you noticed when you were gone. This was a big topic. It's really dominated, especially with our older son, then on down since we returned from our trip. Any insights that you feel comfortable sharing that you noticed? Because rules were in place. Guidelines were set.
Well, I know that it was both a struggle for Katie and I together in a way that we wanted to have healthy environment. And when you see that nothing short of death would change their pursuit of, they want to get on the game as soon as they can and as long as they can, it's not healthy. We did as best as we could, and that was through Jim's help to actually take the power boxes and mm-hmm. things away, because no matter what we said, it didn't help.
And that's how it started, was really a reward. You'll receive this as a reward. You do your homework, you do your chores. During Lent, we took it away completely except for the weekends, a limited time on the weekends. But when you have three, sometimes four boys who are rotating turns, that can still take a while because they want a half an hour each or whatever the case might be. So it is a challenge. And I wanted to read, I just cherry picked, so I'm not going to do all 10, but what priests have to say about video games. And I thought it was really interesting. We're going to start with Father Donald Calloway, whom I know you know.
Yes.
You were at this big National Magnificat conference and he was there. We have mutual friends, but he says, children should be outside playing. Yes! Doing physical activity, not sitting in front of a screen all day playing the part of a cyber hero in someone else's fantasy world. As a norm, adults should not be playing video games. That's a whole other thing that we haven't talked about. There are a lot of adults that do play a lot. He mentions that. He said their leisure moments should be more dignified and age appropriate. It's so sad today to see how many grown men live in a fantasy world of video games, waste time and money. No woman I know delights in dating or marrying a man who sits on his duff all day pushing buttons frantically like a lunatic. It's funny because the kids will ask me to play and I don't even know how to work the controller. But that's a great point. And I was reading another article. I put it in my show notes later on. And so if we get a chance, I'll touch on it. But it was about how this culture's novel, the great literature of years gone past, is video games for our generation. The Great Expectations and young men that could read, that were literate, they would spend time in escapism, these fantasy novels about good and evil or about humanity. And that's what's going on here, but it's the visual stimulation, so it's different. But how in some of the games, it's almost creating like a juvenile behavior in men.
Yes.
And so if we get a chance to touch on that article, I will a little bit later. But Father Peter Junipero,
Yes.
Because it would be after the saint. He said, he's from California. He said, I recall when I was a kid, the first Nintendo system came out and I saved my allowance to buy it since my parents did not have a high opinion of such diversions. After the purchase, they suspected my extended use was frying my brain. and I recall defending it to them on the grounds that it improved my hand-eye coordination. I now think that argument is a load of hooey. I probably knew it then, too. And I find myself, after 25 years, to have arrived at, surprise, roughly my parents' views. I wonder how much better off intellectually, artistically, and even physically and morally young people, especially boys, would be if they unplugged and gave their adventurous youthful vigor to more worthy pursuits. Of all the opinions, I probably find myself aligning with his the most, because I always say to the kids, it's not that the time that you spend on video games is pure evil and it needs to be discarded and exercised. It's just, could you be doing something else better? And we could all examine our time like that. When we're on our social media networks, when we're on our smartphones, when we're doing whatever it is, a million other things, we need to do that same standard of examination.
I agree.
But obviously, for our children to point out, because what I've noticed is, unless I'm kind of guiding them into an activity, they don't even know what to do. And again, I kind of lament, because I'm sure the homeschoolers are saying, well, if you would have went this, because I remember early on when I used to homeschool, and it was for a short period of time, but that was such a ripe and pure and fun age, because they were embracing anything that I might want to show them. When kids are young, they just, you know, they think you know everything. And they trust you, you know, they don't doubt always necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so as they've gotten older, it's like, I don't want to do that, or they don't find the adventure in it. And so it is a struggle. And that's always the question that I go back to. What could you be doing with your time? If the Lord were to take you tomorrow, you could be learning a skill. You could be working on a new language. You could be learning Morse code. You could be learning American Sign Language. You could be writing a letter to your grandma or something. So that's that opinion. Also, Father Matthew Schneider, he's from Rome. He said, video games are not necessarily evil. I remember playing video games with friends. My nerd friends and I would play Warcraft 2 after school. Games like that teach strategy and planning, but are also a great way to relax. They're similar to Axis and Allies. Even today, I like to play Wii from time to time. However, video games can cause trouble in three ways. One, games that have inappropriate content, such as a recent game where you had to fight terrorists in an airport surrounded by civilians. You inevitably shoot at least one with the graphic death sequences. Two, where video games put you as the bad guy, such as that's GTA, Grand Theft Auto. And three, simply playing too much, where this recreation keeps us from important duties such as work, school, or exercise. If you avoid all three, enjoy video games in moderation. I looked up the recommendations. The American Academy of Pediatrics said for teens and technology that parents should limit screen time to no more than 2 hours a day. Seems like that would be fine. And it says, even in the wake of cyberbullying and smartphone addiction, this is from the article from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It says, many parents are clueless about the detrimental effects of too much technology. I guarantee you that if you have a 14-year-old boy and he has an internet connection in his bedroom, he is looking at pornography. That's Dr. Victor Strasburger. He's the lead author of this new policy. The Academy urges parents to ban computers and TVs from kids' bedrooms. They also suggested a two-hour limit. Again, as we mentioned, that includes using the internet, social media, smartphones, and watching TV or movies. So I guess that's the qualifier. Yes. It's not just video games, but it's all of that. Another angle I thought was interesting, it goes back to kind of what Father said about playing. It was interesting then, because when I read this article, it was posted on a Facebook page. It's kind of old, a couple months ago, maybe a year ago. But the comments were really fascinating. Sometimes that's as almost as interesting as the article itself. And this, I mean, that was a lot of really good points. This personal testimony from Peter, he says, I started with Super Mario. I moved on to graphic design, and now I draft blueprints on the computer. And no, I don't play Mario anymore. But I've also seen people waste their life in front of a screen. I think we ultimately get out what we put in. Help kids be balanced and virtuous, and the screen won't be a huge issue. I agree with that in theory, but my life is dedicated to trying to help my kids be virtuous and good. And still, this seems to be a challenge. And there's another priest from the Order of the Friars of Preachers. He says, I'm a very big fan of video games, and I think this is being blown entirely out of proportion. Sure, there are people that play excessively, but that's true of television or movies or even reading novels. There are bad TV shows and movies and novels and, yes, video games, but there are also video games like Zelda or Chrono Trigger or Karakoram Asylum, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, that teach self-sacrifice, love, and other virtues. I'm currently playing Middle-earth: Shadow of Mordor, which is directly based on the clearly Catholic-inspired writings of Tolkien and shares its moral-spiritual themes. Yes, you can escape into alternate reality with fantasy, but you can also let your imagination and moral sensibility be informed positively by good video games, just like good novels. I hope to write a piece on our website soon on this topic. And that website is preachingfriars.org. So I don't know if you have any final takeaways from that. I think, like anything, if it comes with a great sober understanding of what you're undertaking, and depending on the ages of the kids, I don't know if that can be interiorized, but to always constantly have a conversation, to be in dialogue with your children.
Yes.
Who are you? What did God make you on this earth to do and achieve and be? And to help them continually think, and kind of going back to what Dr. Aaron Cariotti said a few episodes back, to be hard on them, but to know you love them for who they are.
I think it's very important what you did as far as doing research, so that it's deeper and wider and broader than two moms that are close friend and very serious about the, you know, the mental and emotional and spiritual well-being of their children. And so you get wisdom from both male and female perspective. And I think when we talk about discernment and wisdom in making decisions that guide our children, that's an important avenue to plunge into, like you did.
Thank you. And I know it's easy if you're not dealing with this. Maybe you're a brand new mom, or you're past that stage, your kids are grown, you've got grandkids, not an issue, they're girls, whatever the case might be. Not saying that girls don't play, but in my experience, it's been a predominantly boy challenge, is that, well, why don't you just take it away? Just take it away. And we have, and we continue. But it's not just that. It might be they'll grab the iPad, and then they're watching Minecraft videos or something. We do have and there's an app called Circle that's really good, and that helps monitor the time, and you can put controls on it. But it really does feel like, again, kind of that whack-a-mole. You're always trying to be on top of something, and something else is popping up. So always appreciate your feedback if you're a parent and you've dealt with this. And it's not easy for me to talk about, because I would like to say in every aspect of my life, I am on top of it, and my kids are squeaky clean, and they are not dealing with any issues, but this is an issue. How do you handle this? You can leave an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. We're also on Facebook too. You can leave a comment. I'd like to get a discussion going there. I think that would be nice. Or Voxer. That's great too. Or you can find me at the number 1, Brooke Taylor, and leave a Voxer that way. We'd love to hear from you.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Well, we're coming off Mother's Day, but of course, May is the month dedicated to Our Lady. And that is one thing that Blessed Mother did not have to worry about. She didn't have to worry about the young Jesus on the video games. Not to say there weren't other things. And of course, her virtue is an example to us also that can be carried over. But thinking about motherhood, this month, the month of May in particular, maybe your own vocation, Mom, in our church, you have really a small, I say Mary Marines, because you're like the Semper Fi, always faithful to Our Lady, where you have started since 2002 what's called the Mary Walk. And it's, I think, unique. And that's what I love hearing about how different churches honor Our Lady. Of course, we don't worship and we don't elevate her to the status of our Lord, but we honor her as the Mother of God that He chose and honored first. And that was the greeting when Gabriel came to her. Hail Mary, blessed are you among women. And that's what May is about, is her vocation as mother, and then being called into the mystery ourselves of that vocation and the beauty, and embracing that, which oftentimes I think we're hard on ourselves, and to see the beauty of Our Lady and allow that to illuminate our own hearts. And you've done this. I know you grew up with this, the May crowning. And for a while, I mean, I didn't grow up ever attending a May crowning that I know of. And then you brought it back in like 2002, and it's just been such a beautiful tradition. Could you talk a little bit about what the Mary Walk is and why it's so important to you and that maybe traditions you grew up with?
Well, I think because of the Bible study that formed in the very first 12 months, within that 12-month period when we moved to our present location area, it just seemed in the month of May, we wanted to sing to Mary. We wanted to do Mary in a song before and after Bible study. And we had a statue there. And so we just did that within the Bible study. And then the next year, we carried that statue to a little garden and had a wonderful little service. And we invited moms that were in the group too to come, you know, with their daughters. That was beautiful. And then together we planned when we went to Father and asked whether we could open it to the parish, and so that was formulated. And I remember sitting around the big table in the rectory office and Father listening to the components of what we were going to ask. And we talked about the time. One of the women there, she researched exactly that day what time sunset was so that the candlelight outdoor rosary would coincide with dusk and then just the whole twilight time, which as we look back on the pictures, it adds such a beauty. And our church is on Main Street, and we always end on the front steps of the church. And to see children, everyone, all ages, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, families with babies, and you see that and you see, you know, traffic going by and you think, I wonder what people think as they drive by, except, oh, wow, that must be an awesome church because they're doing something that looks pretty special. And each...
Well, because everybody has candles and the rosary is through the property, which includes a school.
Yes.
And that's what's so beautiful is that Father Jay, every part of that soil he blesses and the teacher and the people inside and those that will come and go and the funerals and the weddings and the baptisms. And it really is, I think, from the earliest age, the coolest thing because kids see, wow, all of this goes on in my church.
Yes.
And the whole life cycle is there. And it's funny because... You think of things we have parades for, like a championship team, you know, the NBA playoff, all of that. And it's such a beautiful tradition in Europe. And I know when we were in Italy, where they would carry different saints, or when we were in St. Peter's, I can't even remember who it was because Father Jay didn't know either. He said, we couldn't tell if maybe it was St. Catherine of Siena, but it was this group of big men and they were carrying this enormous statue of, we weren't sure whom, but it just had roses and it wasn't St. Teresa Little Flower. And it was so beautiful. And that always, no matter how busy we are and how visually stimulated and all the, like that catches your eye. So I totally agree. And whether it is Palm Sunday, I love when churches go outside, or Corpus Christi and they do a procession. So this is something, you're right, that is really special.
What I wanted to share that I think is of primary importance is that whatever parish you belong to is just with the Holy Spirit, focus on the personality and the character of your parish because that is unique. The patron of your parish is unique and that is how this happened because most Mary crownings are a combination of scripture, prayers, and songs. And the reason, well, we did do the outdoor rosary because of Lourdes and Fatima following in that pattern. So I think when you start something, you never know how the Holy Spirit is going to lead, that we've passed that phase. But then again, all these buildings are being utilized for different people, all those things. And of course, the church building was blessed, you know, however many years ago. But how about a yearly blessing? And that is what has taken root and flowered in such a beautiful way with our Mary Walk.
And every year you choose Our Lady under a different title,
which
I'll just mention because it was close to my heart. The year that I was a year after that Carolina was home, it was Our Lady of Częstochowa. And so our family was blessed enough to crown Our Lady. And every year you pick select or really the Holy Spirit chooses a different family to take those flowers up, that beautiful crown, and put that on Mary's head. So all those details, I know it's kind of evolved over the years, but those staples have stuck in. And I remember 1 year or two, you talked about, yes, it would be amazing to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe or all these different places, but there's such potent graces right where we are, and they are not limited by time and space. And so I love that perspective as well.
Thanks, I do too.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to mention two books that have been my consummate favorites and companions as a mother. One in particular, I'm going to save the second one for last because that one is like the best. This is Mary Read Newland. Have you heard of this, Mom? Because I think she wrote this like in the 40s, maybe?
I'm not familiar.
It's called We and Our Children, How to Make a Catholic Home. So if you're not familiar with this book, I'm going to link it up in the show notes. I'm going to send it your way so that you can get your hands on this. I'm going to just read the back of it over and over. If you could see my book, it has different parts that are, I am like the world's worst when it comes to bookmarks. I will use gum wrappers. I'll use luggage tags, whatever around, because I'm always, I have more than one bookmark, you know, that I want, and I highlight different things. But on the back, it says this: how does one develop a space for one's children free from the worst aspects of the surrounding culture? How to foster a spiritual life where children can develop a vision of God, themselves, and the world, and an approach to Him through prayer and the habits of daily life. Mary Read Newland, in We and Our Children, the name of the book, offers wise counsel on making the home a domestic church for the raising of Catholic children in holiness, truth, and the Christian virtues, all things central to a child's life, play, work, school, creative activity, family responsibilities, prayer, the sacraments, and the Mass are shown to be occasions for encouraging a spiritual outlook and the formation of sound Catholic habits. And I think this appealed to me from the outset because of my own tendency to gravitate, you know, my blog, the Sacred Sink, to the 1 Thessalonians verse, pray always, and whatever you do, pray without ceasing. And that is our life. And to teach that to our kids. There was one I remember in this book where she talked about, even when the little one's getting ready for the bath, talk about who made you? God made me. And the miracle of your hair and your shoulders and your skin and everything they do, from packing their lunch to even if they are not doing a chore, that you can use it as an object lesson to teach them about God, obedience, holiness in such a beautiful, natural, and gentle way. So I really recognize that this one is key. It's called We and Our Children, How to Make a Catholic Home. Again, I'll link it up. It's Mary Read Newland. The other one, this is kind of a secret special book that I found kind of out of the blue. It wasn't a book that anyone had recommended to me. I really feel like it was the Holy Spirit. I kind of stumbled upon it, ordered it. It wasn't the easiest or the cheapest to find, but I just felt like I needed this book. And it was, I would say, probably one of the biggest things that was instrumental in me actually leaving my job and coming home. It was in the discernment process that I read this book, and it has continued to be an atomic bomb in my life when it comes to the power of the vocation of wife and mother. Now, the time that it was written, I recognize there might be some controversial thoughts in here because he does say a little bit about, you know, the woman is the weaker sex, but it's truly has to be read in the perspective of his time and what he's saying. And that's not actually derogatory, mm-hmm. because what he's saying is, I wonder if this is where the phrase comes from, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's Cardinal Joseph Mincenzi. It's called The Mother. He was the Prince Primate of Hungary. I'm just going to read a snippet of the back here. It is a pastoral treatise on the Christian mother. In a world in which materialism in one aspect or another has come strangely to influence and dominate the... I'm getting teary because I remember at the time feeling like there is nothing I will ever do that will be as important as my job as a mom. And I think that I doubted that ability or that call maybe for a while. And he says, the dignity of the apostolate of the Christian mother tragically has been obscured.
In this book, the reader draws closer to the real Cardinal Mensenzi as he closes it with the prayer for the speedy coming of a great Christian renaissance. And that begins with the mother, the heart of the mother. It is like poetry. There are some books that you just read and they wrap you around their finger and you're just taken on a sailing journey. And that's what this is. And over again, you're just like, wow, what? Father Nathan has this gift too, where he can illuminate your imagination and help your heart and spirit go deeper than what you could ever do on your own.
I agree.
And so I really recommend this one, Cardinal Mensenzi, The Mother. And even if you're a spiritual mom, I mean, I know, and I know that Mother's Day can be difficult for a lot of reasons for a lot of people, whether you're grieving the loss of a mom, whether you had a very dysfunctional relationship, whether you long to be a mom. Even when I was a mom and had infertility for so many years, it was that tinge of ache in there. But I think that's also the beauty of going back to Our Lady, because she knows the suffering and the sorrow that we carry. And that's also what he talks about too in the book, is by nature of us being female, we have a heart that's unlike anything else in all of any species, and how we carry so much in one heart, but how God also gives us, you know, a strong heart, a feminine heart, all that it's able to carry and endure and withstand. It's pretty extraordinary. So those two books I recommend. And I would be remiss if I did not highlight our wonderful Father Nathan. He is back. He's going to help us kind of wrap up today's show with a Padre in Your Pocket, encouraging words for moms.
Padre in Your Pocket. On good things, great deal.
Everybody, it's Father Nathan with a special message for our mothers on this Mother's Day. I wanted to take a moment just to reflect with you on how blessed we are that God decided to make you. And that is to say, remember that mothers were invented by God. He didn't have to do it this way. And sometimes we like to think, well, it'd be a lot easier if that whole stork mechanism could just be brought back into reality. But you know what? Like, if a stork brought me to this earth and I didn't have a mother, I'd be the poorer for it. Why? Because a mother reveals to us a part and an aspect of God. Remember that men and women are made in the image and likeness of God. And if God made mothers, it was to reveal to this world and show to this world something of who he is. And what do we see? That he is intimately connected with every part of our life. That he carries us with the same love that he has for himself. He extends that love to us. That he thinks of us constantly, and that he is ready and willing to give his life for ours. The fact and the beauty of motherhood, the dignity of motherhood, it comes from and reveals to us this image of God. God the Father, and God, in a sense, who holds in his perfection all of the perfection of motherhood. I wish you all a very, very happy Mother's Day. Let your light shine, be good mothers, and never ever allow yourself to think that being a mother is somehow an accident. Being a mother is a gift from God and an association with him in his own creative work, and he blesses mothers this day, as do I, in his name. May the Lord bless and keep every mother hearing this podcast in her motherhood. May he strengthen you and give you to rejoice this day and to be with him forever. As I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, it doesn't get much better than that. Thank you so much to Father Nathan Cromley. If you could remember him in your prayers, he's actually on pilgrimage right now in England, lucky duck, and with the pilgrims he's traveling with. And a reminder, too, that he is this summer going to be traipsing all over to bless the youth, young men and women, with Eagle Eye Ministries and also St. John Institute. And we are so grateful for the work he does and his tireless efforts for the kingdom. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful week. There's so much to cover. This is such a busy time of year, so we'll just agree to keep each other in prayer for endurance, for holy joy, and for
strength to help our children with video games. How's that? And don't forget, big announcement coming up on May 28th. A big thank you also to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats.
If you have any production needs, check them out. It's cominghomestudios.com. Again, we love to hear from you. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also, Voxer, Facebook, Instagram, all of those will be linked up in the show notes. And a big extra thank you to our Podbean patrons. It's because of you we keep going, and you are so important. We pray for you every day. And if you would like to become a Podbean patron, a GTR good friend of the show, you can click on the show notes and find out more. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.